everyone, welcome back. My name is Bill Quinn, and this is episode 13. In this episode, I met up with Anthony Posada, who is the executive director and founder of Project Attica. We met at a local coffee shop, and we talked about the first 5 years of his organization, which is a very simple one. They design t-shirts with young people around really important issues, things that are important to the students, things that are important to the community. And what I love about it is as the students leave and they're wearing the t-shirt, that conversation that they had about the designing of that t-shirt continues as they're wearing it and walking around. And so it continues to keep students and young people engaged in conversations about really important issues. So we talked about founding, how we got started, some of the highlights, some of the best t-shirts he saw in the first 5 years, and where they're headed in the next 5 years. So with that, here's my interview with Anthony. I'm sitting here with Anthony Posada from Project Attica. And so, Anthony, why don't you start us off? Tell us how Project Attica came about.
Thank you, Bill. To tell you a little bit about Project Attica, I have to tell you a little bit about myself. So I remember that Jackson Heights, the area where I grew up, had a lot of police presence. We're talking about the tail end of the Giuliani administration and the Bloomberg administration, so stop and frisk was definitely very high when I was going into high school, and certainly at its peak when I was in law school. So when I saw that happening in my community, I saw it happening not only to my friends, but I saw it actually happened to me as well. I was stopped and frisk, I was put into the system, a gun was pointed at my face, basically, by two plainclothes detectives. And all of these experiences sort of made me feel, at one point, really frustrated because I felt powerless. Like, I couldn't do anything to take some sort of action against what had happened to me and what I saw happening all around me. From that experience, I was able to then go on to law school, where I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly upon graduation, but I did know that I could at least start making messages designed to get people to think about these issues. So the focus that I had at the very beginning was mass incarceration and how mass incarceration affects the United States, how it affects us as a society, what does it mean when there's 2.3 million people behind bars and yet we all go on with our normal lives as if nothing's happening because it's not directly affecting us. So the t-shirts would have a lot of those specific pointed messages, which I just started making one every single day that I would go to law school. I'd make a different t-shirt. So it started to catch a lot of attention from classmates, from professors who were curious. A lot of people wanted to buy the t-shirts, and then ultimately I said, well, I'm not interested in selling them. I want us to have a conversation about these issues. I had stumbled upon an idea that was easy to transmit to other people, especially because of the method that I use, which is using stencils. So I make the own cutouts of the stencils, and then I bring a fabric paint, fabric markers, and using stencil letters. And then using the stencil images sort of allows people to build upon a larger message without having to feel that they don't have any artistic skill or they're not creative, because using the stencil is really simple, and it's a very old technique that artists have been using for a very long time. People then started to support me in ways that I didn't think at first. So they said, well, you want to work with youth? And then I was told that I should go to the high school where I graduated from. So I actually did link up with my English and creative writing teacher, and I said, hey, I have this project, this is how it works. If you give me 45 minutes of your time with your students, I will go in and teach them how they can use artivism to take a stand against the issues that they feel passionate about. So what I was able to learn was that the idea of making these t-shirts was more than just sort of a money-making idea or venture. To me, it symbolized more of a way in which I could build community and create conversations that otherwise weren't taking place.
How long have you been doing that for?
So we started in 2011. I started it with a friend of mine from law school at that time. And now we're about 8 members on the board.
How often do you do a workshop?
So we are now doing about 2 to 3 workshops per month.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
what are some of your favorite t-shirts that you've seen students design? What are some of the more memorable t-shirts that you can remember?
So I've seen t-shirts around issues of police brutality, police discrimination, gun violence, environmentalism that have just been outstanding pieces of art. And some of them that come to mind, actually, in a workshop that we did in Far Rockaway at a teen center connected to the Queens Library, a student just started to freehand her t-shirt. So she only used one of the stencils, but for everything else, she started to use her own paintbrush skills and different paints. And when I was able to look and see what she had created, it was so stunning because she had done basically a megaphone that was sort of supported by people that said, "Stop gun violence." But the way she had written "Stop gun violence" sort of reminded me of Basquiat, and the colors that she had used were so captivating because they would just capture you and make you pause.
Have you heard, not just maybe during in the day that you perform these workshops, but sort of in a long-term sense, have you heard back from people who you've worked with that have given you feedback about how the t-shirt has, from a teacher or from a principal or even from the students, how the t-shirt has changed the attitude of students or what they've seen, differences that they've seen, and some of the impacts that the workshop has made on the students?
Actually, one story comes to mind, which was at a workshop that we did in Far Rockaway, where one of the workshop participants was telling us a story of how her uncle had been killed by the NYPD, and it was around the time that Eric Garner's incident happened. And this person said, my family has a court date, and it wasn't too far from the date from which we were doing the workshop, and she was telling us how she wanted to make this t-shirt so that she could wear it to court. So she took the art of his concept and then was able to actually put it to work in a setting where she would certainly stir a lot of attention, because in court, I'm sure that she got the attention of the court officers, that she got the attention of the audience members, and that the judges who sit on the bench who have a good view of the court were able to see her wearing that t-shirt. And she then was able to communicate to the community organizer who helped us put the workshop together that she had had a great time because she was able to wear her t-shirt with passion, with empowerment, with the hopes of getting people to pay attention to this issue that was otherwise being neglected or not even talked about a lot.
Tell me more about why you're going back to Colombia.
So Colombia has a soft spot for me because I am from Colombia. I still have my grandmother and my uncles down in Medellin and in other parts of Colombia. So I've always wanted to work with kids down there. And building on the fact that we were able to do one workshop in Colombia, we sort of then started reaching out to organizations in Medellin, and we caught the attention of the Museum of Modern Art in Medellin. So they have a project which is called City of the Kids, and what they do is that they work with a group of about 85 kids from ages 6 to 14 in a span of 6 months. And what they do is that they invite other artists to do workshops with the kids. Sometimes it's writing workshops, sometimes it's ceramic workshops. And when we told them about what Project Attica does and how we could offer the t-shirts, the stencils, and the space, they were really excited to hear that because they felt that this could be an opportunity for their kids to talk about issues that are directly impacting them in their neighborhoods and communities, and also another way in which they could then use the actual t-shirts as wearable canvases, that they could then host them at the culmination of their project to sort of show to the public what the kids were able to create. So what's different about this project or workshop from the one we did in the past in Colombia is that a lot of these kids are actually directly displaced by violence. So we're talking about kids whose families had to flee the farmlands because they were being sort of pushed out by paramilitary forces or by the revolutionary forces of Colombia. So a lot of these kids have been exposed to trauma, and we're really interested in working with them because this year's focus of Project Attica is actually called Art to Cure Violence. We want to show through our workshop how you could use art as an alternative and as a means of transforming a problem by using a nonviolent means.
What are you looking for from people who might be listening and interested in getting involved?
I would say that we're looking probably for three things right now. Volunteers. We are always looking for people to help us. We run as a volunteer model. All eight of us who are part of the project donate our time. And we're also looking for space. And when I say space, I sort of mean high schools, community organizations, a venue that is a community center that is available to host a workshop. We're looking for that because we are always willing to give our time and materials if we can be provided with the space and the audience. So volunteers, space, and then of course, Bill, we are always looking for financial support because, as I mentioned, we're volunteer-led, we don't make a profit from any of the work that we do, and we donate t-shirts, we donate the fabric paint, the markers, we give everything back to the kids and to the community. So people who are interested in either volunteering, providing a space, or helping us monetarily, they can do so at this point by going to our website at www.projectattica.org, and we have a tab there that says contact us. So it's a fillable form. They just have to put their basic information, send us an email, and let us know in which way you want to contribute to Project Attica. At the moment, we are a not-for-profit, but we don't have a button or a tab that allows people to make donations directly to us. We're working on that at this point. But we could definitely help people navigate how they can go about making a donation to us if it's going to be monetary.
This is Project Attica's fifth year.
Yes.
And in that 5 years, what is something you've learned that you could pass on to someone else who is also doing something similar or starting a nonprofit? Or what have you learned in 5 years of your organization that you could pass on to other people?
I would have to start by saying they have to sit down, find the space, and write out what it is that they want to do. Because I started off with a very big idea, and I wanted to tackle many, many issues all at once. And then I started to find out, while getting the incorporation status, that it's all about honing in on what it is that your purpose is going to be about, and knowing specifically what that is. Because once you can get that figured out, everything else starts to fall into place. The filling of the application becomes easier. The finding the right people becomes easier. The getting the support becomes easier because you can communicate what it is that you're about. So definitely, it sort of falls in line with saying, you know, follow your dreams, but it's actually much more specific because, yes, it's your dream, but write it so that it's relatable, so that it's communicable, so that people can understand what it is that your dream is.
So, first off, I want to say a huge thank you to Anthony Posada. He tracked me all over Manhattan. I would have never met Anthony had it not been for Angela Torregosa, who you can listen to in episode 2 of the Bill Quinn podcast. And I would have never met Angela had it not been for Jacqueline. So thank you to all three of those people who have been great supporters of podcasts and appreciate everything they've done for me. So with that, I look forward to talking to you next time. Have a great night. Well, if you liked that episode, I have good news. There's plenty more on my website, thebillquinnpodcast.blogspot.com. Plus, you can get notices about future episodes by following me on Twitter and liking my Facebook page. The Twitter account is @BQuinnPodcast. Also, you might work for an organization, run an organization, or know somebody who does work for an organization that would be a great fit for a future episode. Please get in touch. Email me at thebillquinnpodcast@gmail.com. I hope to hear from you. And no one's gotten a tattoo from their t-shirt, have they?
No, we haven't heard that as of yet.
All right. It just suddenly hit me.
But it could happen.